This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. It's a Friday. Glad to be here with you. We have a lot to talk about today. It's Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester, Max Power producing. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot of ways you can participate in the program. Glad to have you listening to us here on KFH 97.5 FM 1240 AM over the air driving to work. We appreciate it. We appreciate you listening on the Odyssey app. We appreciate you watching on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, all the different ways you take in the show, and you can participate in all those different ways as well. We will talk Kansas City Chiefs. Travis Kelce, as I predicted yesterday, plants himself solely in the headlines everywhere by what he said on his New Heights podcast, mission accomplished, but it has us talking, it has everybody talking, and we'll continue to do that today. We'll check in from Royals spring training in the next hour with Jalen Thompson, a Royals insider. Very excited to be able to do that and officially sort of open the book on the Major League Baseball season and a team that, you know, has as much buzz and momentum as it's had in a decade. So we're excited about that as well. It's all coming for you over the next couple hours here. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you. Is it okay for a couple of dudes to tell each other Happy Valentine's
Sure it
Day?
Is. I'm secure enough in who I am as a person. Happy Valentine's Day to you. Happy Valentine's Day to Max. Valentine's Day to everybody out there.
That's a good one. You have a Valentine's date?
I do. My wife and I are going to dinner tonight.
Oh, that's very sweet. You know who always has a Valentine's date?
Tell me.
A calendar.
Oh, I like that. Max, you got the, there you go. Got that rim shot ready to go.
Thank you.
You had that one teed up and ready to go.
Oh, of course I did. Yeah. Absolutely I did. They're always all teed up. You have to let them loose whenever they present an opportunity. We're going to try and catch a happy hour today. We're not big Valentine's people. My grandpa, now my mom, owns a flower shop growing up. So Valentine's Day was always just meant like a crazy couple of weeks of work.
Like a moneymaker.
Go in and help. Yeah, it's a big day. I mean, it's a big day. But, you know, they get their prices jacked up on them. Like, you like to be busy, but it is a lot of work, as you can imagine. And I'm glad that it is, because people should buy their flowers locally. So we did that. And my wife and I have never really been big on the anniversaries, Valentine, like we just don't, I don't know why. I think it's probably because of kids. I don't really remember life before kids, so I couldn't tell you if it's always been that way. But we are, we're going to try and catch happy hour today too. So good. Excited.
We were able to actually get a babysitter, which was great. And so, it's been a while since we've gone out to dinner, just the two of us, you know, when you've got little kids, like it's hard to do. Yeah. You're usually taking them with you and, you know, you're going to Chuck E. Cheese, you know, for your romantic evening. So, it'll be good.
What do you think you guys are going to talk about?
Probably the kids. We'll probably talk about what the kids did and what they're doing right now and are they okay? And, they tormenting the babysitter? That's the way the conversations are always going to be just dominated. Even if they're not with you, that's all you're going to talk about.
For the rest of your life, too.
100%.
Like you'll be 80 years old wondering what your kids are doing.
Yeah.
I think. We're not quite to that point yet. We'll give away some things, our gift to you on Valentine's Day today. We'll give away a lot of things, actually. We'll give away some HTO, as we always do. We're going to give away, we have two contests coming. One is for a cruise. And one is for a trip to Vegas to watch March Madness and college basketball. So we'll have both of those. Speaking of college basketball, we get you primed up and ready to go for a weekend of college hoops for both KU, K-State, Wichita State, the Shockers getting ready to host their biggest, most exciting game of the year, you'd think, in Memphis, who's a top 15 team right now. So looking forward to all of that. We'll do it all today. Take your calls, take your comments, and you know, here we go. We got Kelsey in the news. We got Aaron Rodgers back in the news. The NFL in full swing. Rumors swirling about where he might end up. Now it's official. He will not be back in Pittsburgh. We can get into that a little bit today as well. We've got Patrick Mahomes Sr. and John Rocker, I guess, going to have a fight. An official, like sanctioned fight after almost having a fight on the streets of New Orleans. Not sure if you saw that video. Tommy says he's not interested. I don't believe him. I don't know how you could not be interested in that. John Rocker and Pat Mahomes Sr. Come on. Like, who's not interested in that?
Yeah, I couldn't care less. I would rather watch the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, or Logan Paul, whichever Paul brother it was, fight 40,000 times.
Netflix.
Well, I'm saying I'd rather watch that with all of the Netflix glitches over and over and over again for the rest of eternity than watch John Rocker and Pat Mahomes Sr. fight
Why?
Each other.
Why, though? Why is this? Why are you going to put your foot in the sand on this very interesting thing that has happened and been dropped into our lap?
It's not interesting at all. Like, neither one of these guys, and I know Pat Mahomes Sr. is relevant because of his son, but that's the only reason why Pat Mahomes Sr. is relevant at all. And usually he's only in the news for negative type things, like him getting arrested and like that sort of thing. And then John Rocker has been irrelevant for 25 years. And you know what? I grew up a Braves fan. I still am a Braves fan. I hated John Rocker when I was like when he played for the team. I didn't like
him. Doesn't that make you want to see Pat Mahomes take him down?
No, because I don't want Pat Mahomes to win either. Like neither one of these guys can win, and I'd be happy with it. So I might as well stay away.
But Rocker plays this villain. It's almost like a big pro wrestling.
Rocker's an idiot. Rocker's always been an idiot.
So don't you want to see him get knocked out by a guy that's half his size?
Because Pat Mahomes is an idiot too. Like they're both idiots. So like. He might be less so of an idiot, but they're let's be honest, they're both idiots. And I would rather just like both of them go away. Like if they're going to fight each other, that's fine. But like do it in like a back alley somewhere with no cameras. And then I hope they just both beat each other up and there's no winner.
Well, that's probably what's going to happen. I'm intrigued to see if like the athleticism angle of it. And I liked Patrick Mahomes Pat Mahomes Sr. when he was in the big leagues, by the way. As he's, you know, he's a pretty good pitcher.
Like, why does anybody find this?
He spent some time with the Rangers, so I liked him because he played for the Rangers for a little while. You don't stare a gift horse in the mouth sometimes. And as football season ends, you get the opportunity to watch a wiry old guy fight a much larger old guy and see what happens. It's as a wiry guy myself, I want to see. Nobody's giving him a chance here. Because the other guy's bigger. I'm like, you don't know how he is. You don't know what kind of tough he is. He might be able to take a punch. We're going to find out. Rocker's so big and jacked up and juiced up that, that's not always what wins a fight. And we'll find out. And I don't believe you that you're not interested.
I'm not at all.
I don't. You're the only person. Max, any interest in this fight?
If it was a street fight, I'd be there, but...
I think it is, isn't it?
No, it can't be a street
Come
fight.
Come on. What do you think a street fight is?
Well, I know what a street fight is, but I don't know what these rough and rowdy fights are. Don't they just kind of let them do whatever they want in those? I don't know.
Was this like Larry Holmes, the time he jumped over the car to fight the guy that he was going to fight next? Way back before you two were born.
Yeah, I don't. Sorry. I'm not sure I know who Larry Holmes is.
I know who Larry Holmes is, but I definitely never watched him fight. Rocker's talking smack on social media as I'm just searching around here. I think a lot of now listen, this will surprise you. There's a lot of all caps going on in the
in the
tweets from John Rocker. He's yelling through his keyboard. Yeah, that's how
he's a keyboard warrior.
If this wasn't ever an old man.
Weren't they both pitchers?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So
if this ever wasn't an old man fight, the level of all caps being tossed around by John Rocker. And listen, John Rocker would kick my ass right now. So I probably better watch what I say. Like there's very little doubt about that. How old is he even?
He's got to be late 40s, probably, maybe pushing 50.
50.
50.
He's 50.
Pat Mahomes has got to be mid 50s, I would think.
Both should throw baseballs at each other.
I'd be on board for that.
Pat Senior's 54.
Let him get into a verbal debate. I'd love to watch that.
That would be something I have no interest in what they have to say. That would be something I'm not interested in. But we'll come back. We're just messing around here. But that actually is going to happen. We'll be back on Sports Day.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Your legend begins aboard the Disney Destiny, the all-new ship from Disney Cruise Line sailing November 2025. Log in and listen to KFH on Odyssey for a chance to win a trip for four to set sail on the Disney Destiny in this national contest. All you need to do is listen for an hour. You can do that with Sports Daily on the Odyssey app. You can find out more at kfhradio.com. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us warm and fueled up on a balmy Friday morning. It's all the way up to like 20 degrees today. Break out the swimsuits based on what we've been dealing with and apparently what we will be dealing with for the next couple of weeks. It's going to be warmer today, but with 50-mile-per-hour winds. So I'm not sure that that's a trade we'll take, but we'll deal with it. Welcome back in. So, Tommy, yesterday we talked about the Travis Kelce on his New Heights podcast stuff that has us all now probably wondering more than before, like, maybe it's not so sure he's coming back. Sounds like a guy who doesn't know yet, or at least is on the fence. My thought on it is there was probably an opportunity to win this game and go out on top and do all that stuff. And now that that hasn't happened, there's doubt there. And he's saying things very bluntly, and we appreciate his honesty and his candid, you know, commentary that he's got to make sure he can be there 100% for his teammates and his coaches. He's never said anything like that before, ever, right? Like, and so, okay, we get all that. We've discussed it. And now Nate Taylor says on our sister station up in Kansas City yesterday that the Chiefs have sort of given him this deadline of March 14th. Now, don't read too much into that. There's a major contract day the day after that has to happen in the NFL. So I think essentially it's like, can you let us know before we have to do whatever that roster designation is where they have to make sure they put money in certain places. So it's interesting. It sure sounds to me like now what we're like, Kelce sure didn't seem like he was certain what he wanted to do. And probably the Chiefs aren't either if they're kind of putting an unofficial deadline on this thing.
Yeah, I think the word deadline, can sound a little bit more intimidating than what it actually is. I think in context, it's probably, more of a, hey, can we just have a decision? We'd like to, be able to be flexible if you need help going through it, if you want to talk about it, like we're happy to do that. I would imagine that's the way you treat, somebody like Travis Kelce. I don't believe that in any way, shape, or form this is a like an ultimatum. You have to have a decision to us by this date.
It's a business ultimatum. They have to make certain designations with the roster.
But this certainly isn't a, again, I think the word deadline can be intimidating.
It's not hostile.
Yeah, it's not a hostile type thing. It's just like they need to know what direction they want to go. And they feel like by giving Travis Kelce a month from today, that should give him enough time to be able to make that decision. And I think that's fair. I think that's fair on the side of the Chiefs. I think that's fair on the side of Travis Kelce.
I think if it takes a month to decide, Kelce's decision has probably already been made. Teams have to be under the salary cap on March 15th. It's when free agency opens and they have to submit qualifying offers and do a lot of things. It's just a date on the calendar where they have to have some things in order. And look, if Kelce doesn't know in the next month, then probably he needs to step away. I would think because if you're not certain by then, like what's more realistic is after a week or two and maybe some time away, it's like, man, there's no chance I can't come back. I don't come back and play football. You know, that doesn't take a month. And maybe it doesn't happen at all, and I would be totally fine with that. Like, this year has been different. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's always been old enough to step away. He's had enough accolades. He's already going to be a Hall of Famer. All of these things. But most of the time, you see the joy and passion which he brings to football and being a part of the team in the locker room, and you're like, man, that guy didn't want to step away. This is the first time to me it's felt like he's like, I don't know if I can go through it again. And maybe he can, maybe he can't. This is where it gets interesting now. I contend that the Chiefs would love to have him back because I think they have it's not a problem, but it's definitely another big item on their to-do list if Kelce steps away. They don't know yet. We don't know yet what Patrick Mahomes looks like without Kelce. We don't know what this offense looks like without those two guys being the biggest part of it. And even as Kelce is not doing what he did 3 years ago, he's still one of the best tight ends in football, quite frankly. And he and Mahomes, the way they communicate, the way they do things, is a big part of why the Chiefs offense has been so successful in this run of 6 or 7 years. So what happens when he's not there? I do think that's a huge thing that they'll have to figure out. And it's not so simple as just next man up when it comes to Kelce. We know that. So they'll have to do something, whereas if he comes back, they don't have to do that. So it does add to the to-do list if he does ultimately decide to retire.
I think that it's impactful, but the more that I think about it, if Travis Kelce doesn't return, I'm not convinced that it's that impactful. Like, I think it's impactful. Don't get me wrong. You know, like on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest impact, 1 being the lowest, I'd probably put it at a 7, you know.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, but it's not a 10. It's not like you're losing, you know, somebody that you absolutely cannot find a way to replace the production.
Well, there's only one 10 on the roster.
Yeah.
And that's Mahomes.
I'd put it at a 7, maybe a 6 to 7, somewhere around there. Here's the reason why. The reason why is because you go back to the beginning of this season. They were, in my opinion, already planting the seeds on what life after Kelce might look like. Remember, they were trying to utilize Rashee Rice as a volume type receiver before he went down with the injury. The way that they were peppering him with targets, the way that they were trying to get him the ball, in some cases early on, force feed him the ball because of his ascension in the latter half of his rookie year, they wanted to establish him as the target guy, as the volume guy. Of course, he went down with an injury, and then they had to kind of pivot and adjust and improvise on the fly. And then you started seeing, you know, Kelce be able to kind of go back, especially in the playoffs, to his vintage form outside of the AFC Championship game, you know, in the Super Bowl. He had that performance against the Texans in the divisional round that was like, okay, that's vintage Travis Kelce. But I think that they're not there yet in figuring out how they distribute, you know, the production without Travis Kelce. And of course, when he's on the field, they can't because they have to give him the ball. But I think that they've already been planting the seeds on what that might look like. So that's the reason why I would take it from a, you know, potentially a 9 or 10 down to a 6 or a 7 as far as impact, because I feel like they've already been thinking about, doesn't mean they have it figured out and fleshed out, but they've already been thinking about what life after Kelce might look like.
Rashee Rice is very likely going to miss half the season next year in some capacity. Travis Kelce still led the team in target share. He led the team in receiving yards. He led the team in catches by an almost 2-to-1 margin. And I don't have last year's numbers in front of me at the moment. I can pull them up. Because these are the 2 years where he hasn't really been like the absolute unquestioned most dominant tight end in football. Last year, as I go back, by yards per game, he was still high. He's still, even with Rashee Rice's, like for the last 2 years, and I would guess the last 4, he's been the Chiefs' leading receiver by
You're
wide
right.
receiver
You're right.
number.
Yeah.
So replacing that is not just, oh, well, we'll just throw it more to Rice and
Worthy. No, my point being is not that it's going to be easy and not that they have it totally fleshed out. It's still going to be impactful. I will concede that it's going to be an impactful move if he leaves. Like, they're going to have to try to find a way to make it work without him. I'm just saying it's not like, I don't feel like the Chiefs are going to be caught off guard. I don't think they're going to be caught. Like, I think that they want him to be back, but I think that they've even if it hasn't been like something that has been spoken about, and maybe it has been, but even if it hasn't been spoken about over the last 2 years in the front office, in the coaching offices, what does our offense look like when inevitably Travis Kelce goes away? I think that they have at least planted the seeds on what that might look like. Now, planning it, plotting it, thinking about it, you know, dreaming about schemes and production and all of that is significantly different than actually executing it when it happens. And you won't know what that looks like until he actually is not there anymore. But I feel more comfortable because I do genuinely believe that even if it's like unspoken, that everybody's had the thought in their mind, how do we scheme up this offense without Travis Kelce when that day comes? I feel much more confident about that if that has been the conversation over the last couple of years than if they're completely caught off guard and they have no idea what they're going to do. I think they have at least a little bit of an idea on at least what they would like to try.
The problem is they never know what it's like without Kelce because he plays in every game.
Again, executing it's going to be
games.
Executing it's going to be much different than thinking about what it could be like.
We have no idea because he plays every game. He never misses games. I just went through a quick. You've got to go, Tommy. Every year he's been a pro. He's been either first or a very close second, very close to leading the Chiefs in receiving yards. I think there has been a lot of taking him for granted this year. I really do. I think people saw a player get older and not be at the top of his game and thought, that's it, he's washed. But I don't think people truly grasp and understand that he has been that dude in that offense, regardless of who the quarterback is, by the way, for a decade. You got to go back to 2014 when he wasn't playing. To find the year, 2013, he did lead the team in yards in his first season in 2014. And then every year after that, other than a handful of times when Tyreek Hill was just a little bit more in receiving yards, he's led the team in just about every receiving category. I mean, you're talking about the impact of what do the 49ers do when they lose Jerry Rice? It's that kind of run that he's been on. And I don't think they have the answer right now. I don't think they have the answer.
I'm not even suggesting they have the answer.
But if he steps away, they've got to find an answer, is what I'm saying. And that adds on.
And what I'm saying is that I believe that they at least have had it in their minds for a little bit now. You can't watch some of the un-Travis Kelce-like plays over the last couple of years. The drops last season. I even go back to that vintage quote-unquote performance of his in the game against the Texans when, you know, he was, I mean, let's just be honest, he was slow after the catch because he's old. Like, it just is what it is. Like, he was slower than I feel like he had been in a while. I think that if you think that the Chiefs have not at least had somewhat of internal conversations about what things might look like without him, even dating back to last season, I think you're crazy because I think that they have.
Why would they not have had those conversations? Nobody's arguing that. Of course they have.
Yeah,
they've
but
had
conversations
of what they would do without Patrick Mahomes.
But you're just saying that they don't have an answer. Well, no, I think that they do probably have at least a general idea on what they would like to see that offense look like without Travis Kelce. I think they do have some kind of an answer. Now, whether or not they can execute it, that's a different point that we won't know until Travis Kelce is not on the team anymore and they actually implement what that solution is. But I think that, like, if you say, well, I don't think they have an answer, they got to figure it out. I think they kind of do know what they would like to see that offense be without him. I think they've got contingency plans all around. Now, that's why they brought in Carson Wentz, because, like, if Patrick Mahomes gets injured, they need to have a contingency plan. Like, I think they have contingency plans made up for all their top superstars.
I don't care what their plan is. I care that
you just said that they don't have an answer.
You don't have an answer until you see the test. Like, we don't know what they're going to look like without his offense. And it's not going to be as good. My point
so what is are you even arguing
good.
About? Because, like, you can have...
I'm not arguing about you anything. Can have all of, said this.
You can have all of the best plans laid out on paper, but until Travis Kelce makes a decision, and until week one of, let's say it's next season, rolls around and he's not there, nobody's going to know. So what is there to argue about right now?
I didn't argue about anything.
You just said you don't think the Chiefs have an answer. You just said you don't think they have an answer. Well, we won't know that until week one of the regular season if he's not there. Right?
We won't know if they do. You think they do have a plan. We won't know that either. I mean, we won't know anything. I'm saying that they will have another massive problem to address this offseason if Travis Kelce decides to retire. They do not currently have whatever that is on the roster if Travis Kelce steps away. They will have
you don't
to
think
replace
that,
him.
You don't think that they have...
On the roster currently, I do not.
Okay.
I think if Travis Kelce steps away and they do not make a significant move to try to replace his production with something that's not currently on the roster...
Who is that?
They will not be back in the Super Bowl next year.
Who is that? Who are you going to go out there and get to, quote-unquote, replace the production from Travis Kelce with a significant move? What is that significant move?
Well,
if
he goes away, you got to look in free agency. You've got to look at, then again, pass catchers in the draft. You have to do things that you wouldn't have to do if he doesn't decide to step away. So
tight ends can you go get in free agency?
It's not going to be a tight end. That's a part of the problem.
So
you have to redesign the offense now.
Are they going to go and try to drop a bunch of money on somebody like T. Higgins in free agency? Because I don't think – then how are you going to replace the production from Travis Kelce in free agency?
You have to try. My point is you have to. Let me pull up a list of free agents. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me, but it's somebody, and it wouldn't be nobody if Travis Kelce comes back. If he's back, they don't have this problem to address. If he's gone, they now have another problem to address.
I think you're way wrong, because it's not like they can't replace the production with who they already have in house. Those targets have to go somewhere.
Let's have that argument. They cannot replace the production with somebody that's currently in-house.
They 100%.
You think somebody's going to... Okay, who on the roster right now, Travis Kelce steps away, is catching 97 balls next year?
A combination. I think you can replace him in the aggregate. I think you can replace that production in the aggregate. If you bring Noah Gray up, number one, if you maybe go out and get a second tight end in free agency that you feel like you can split reps with Noah Gray, okay... Then you're maybe taking, I don't know, a quarter to 30%. A quarter of that production, or maybe even a little bit more than that, can go to tight end. And then a combination of Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and then whoever they decide to bring back from last year's team, whether that's DeAndre Hopkins and or Hollywood Brown and or Juju Smith-Schuster, I think you can replace his production in the aggregate. Is it going to be as dynamic without Travis Kelce? Absolutely not. I'm not even arguing.
That's a problem.
I'm not even arguing that. No, I don't think. I think that I'm talking about just the overall targets, receptions, and yardage you can replace in the aggregate without needing to go. Like, Brett Veach is not going to go out and sign a $25 million wide receiver.
Nobody said he's going to.
You just said they needed to make a significant move in the offseason. That's what that means to me. What else does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean they have to go pay the most for a wide receiver. It means they have to make a move to here's
you said significant move.
Yes, that doesn't mean only T. Higgins and T. Higgins only. It means a wide variety of things. It means maybe they got to draft somebody else now when they need to focus on other things in the draft.
I can promise you they're not going to go and draft a pass catcher.
Let's simplify it. If the Chiefs do nothing and they try to replace his production with the current players they have, it will not replace his production. That's what I'm saying. They will have to do something now.
I disagree.
That they wouldn't have to do if he came back.
I totally disagree with you.
It adds to the... Great. That's our disagreement then. We're talking about the Chiefs right now. And look, Travis Kelce's, however we want to, and we don't totally agree on how much it will impact the team, I suppose, next year, it adds potentially to what is just a wild, wild list of free agents. We've talked a lot about Trey Smith because he's considered one of the better free agents across the league. But listen to this list for the Chiefs in the offseason. DeAndre Hopkins, Justin Reed, Charles Aminahue, Hollywood Brown, DJ Humphreys. I'm just going with the guys who kind of made impacts. Treshawn Wharton, Carson Wentz, two running backs, Samaje Perine and Kareem Hunt. That's probably not as big a deal, but it's something. Nick Bolton is certainly a big part of what they like to do. And then, of course, Trey Smith, but also Mike Caliendo.
They got to re-sign Frank also, I think.
Yeah, Frank can play anybody.
That's true.
So he could help you in a lot of ways. Mecole Hardman, not that he did anything. Ton of receivers, impactful defensive players, couple of key linemen, and now maybe Travis Kelce. That is a big list right now for the Chiefs to try and handle when they clearly have one overwhelming need at left tackle that they already are going to have to be aggressive with. They have to be. So now alongside that, you have this list of other key players, but most notably Bolton and Reed and Trey Smith are probably the three biggest headline guys. But then there's a bunch of others. You're now going to have to go out and find another backup quarterback. You're going to have to, you're going to lose a bunch of defensive linemen that you have to replace. Like that's a long list for a team that doesn't have a lot of money.
Yeah, I think the majority of those free agents, though, not all of them for sure, to be clear, but a lot of them, it's probably as simple as, hey, you want to come back next year? Cool. Yeah, let's make it work. Like, I think that, like, a guy like Carson Wentz, he played in one game for the Chiefs, really, and it was that, 38-0 shellacking at the end of the season when no starters played. I don't think he played his way into another team being like, hey, Carson Wentz, let's give you a contract to come on in and be our starter. I think that that's like an easy one potentially to come back and do another year as the backup to Patrick Mahomes. I think that, guys like Justin Reed, he'll probably be back.
Think Justin Reed will be back?
Yeah, I think the two guys that most likely will not be back from that list, obviously Trey Smith and Nick Bolton. I don't think Nick Bolton will be back next year for the Chiefs. I think that they'll find a way to get Justin Reed back.
I would disagree. I think they'd find a way to get Bolton back and not Reed.
All the signs are pointing that Bolton's on his way out.
They have good young safeties. They may not get either one of them back. They also, Charles Aminahue is probably going to be a higher priority than either of them.
I think he'll be back.
Even if you shrink, yeah, but he's going to make a whole lot more money. That's what I'm like. He's not just going to come back on the same $8 million deal. He's worth far more than that now. So even if you just shrink the list down to guys who had a massive impact on this team in one way or the other this year, Hopkins, Reed, Aminahue, Hollywood, Nick Bolton, Juju, Kareem Hunt, and of course, Trey Smith, and then Mike Caliendo, with almost no money, and then now potentially Travis Kelce. They're not going to be able to bring all those guys back.
Well, no, they're not. They won't be able to bring them all back. I think
they'll have to replace them through the draft. But they already have this big draft need, and that's not even because of free agency. So it's going to be a tough offseason for the Chiefs.
It always is. You've got to move the puzzle pieces around to fit the lack of cap space and to try to I wouldn't be shocked to see some restructured deals. We usually see that every year from Brett Veach. I would imagine that's the case. Going back to the Travis Kelce conversation before the break, I think the crux of our disagreement is that, and I'm putting words in your mouth, so you tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think the crux of the disagreement is that you think that it's going to be majorly impactful because of the Chiefs' reliance on Travis Kelce. And I think it will be less impactful because I think the Chiefs have over-relied on Travis Kelce in the last 2 years. Like, I think that's the major difference agreement here.
And both things can be true. The problem is he's irreplaceable to me. That's also what I'm saying. Like, you don't just replace the impact he's had on the offense for the last decade and more effectively the impact he's had on Patrick Mahomes' entire career.
But I think it's pretty clear and pretty obvious that they have leaned on him in the last two seasons more than they probably should have. And I think that that's where that shift in offensive scheming, I think that's already been happening. Now, they weren't able to execute it the entire season this last year because Rashee Rice went down with an injury. But and 2 years ago, their wideouts were Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. Like, they didn't have a choice. But I think that now, maybe out of necessity if he walks away, but even if he didn't, I think that they need to, and they probably already are, trying to shift that offensive identity a little bit away so the burden isn't on Travis Kelce's shoulders solely. Even if he does come back in 2025, like, I think that we've been seeing those seeds be planted for a little while now.
I think that if he comes back in 2025, I would agree that they can pull back and they would need to pull back. I don't think they drafted Xavier Worthy as a succession plan to combine with Rashee Rice for Travis Kelce. I think they drafted Xavier Worthy because they thought Rashee Rice was going to get suspended. So I don't think the plan was ever to have those two guys be the replacement. I think that was the emergency plan because they thought at the time that Rice wasn't going to play. And he ended up not playing anyway, but for a different reason. Now they have them both there. And that's a good 1-2 punch. And the Chiefs can operate without. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying they don't know how. They haven't had to for a decade operate without Travis Kelce. So what does that look like? I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned for Mahomes. I'm not going to lie. I am. I'm concerned that he's potentially losing all-pro interior linemen and tight ends, people that he's relied on for a long time. I think there's a decent chance that next year there are a lot of pains throughout the process. Now, where they ultimately end up is anybody's guess. Nobody bets against Mahomes or anything like that. But I think it'll be a challenge. I really do. And if he comes back, I'm with you. If he does come back, I think that they will try, and they'll have to because he's older. And they've done a little bit of that the last 2 years, right? It would appear early in the season that they're trying to pull back a little bit. The problem is, and this is, I think, part of the reason it concerns me, they want to pull back, and then they can't. And then they have to just go to him anyway. Because it's been a challenge without him being the alpha there.
But they may very well be forced to have to if he doesn't return.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's out of their control.
But that's why that goes back to my original point, is that I don't think that they're going to be caught on their heels unprepared for that if it happens.
Because they'll have an offseason to try and answer.
I'm not even just talking about this offseason. They have planted the seeds to want to try to do this before. So it's not like it's totally foreign territory to not want to lean on Travis Kelce. Like, that they may be forced to, but the way that they leaned on Rashee Rice early on told me this is what they would like to do. They would like to not have to rely on Travis Kelce. They would like to be able to utilize him in a different way. Now, out of necessity, they may have to, find a way to not lean on him if he's not there. But I don't think that this is like he decides that he's going to walk away in early March and they're like, oh, man, we have no idea what we're going to do now. I think that they at least have tried to put together some semblance of a blueprint on life after Travis Kelce.
It's either way. Their list of things to do if Kelce decides to retire, does it alter to you? Like, does it shift away from what it is if he does come back? See, I don't, that's where I don't agree. Unless, look, the X factor in everything in all of this is Noah Gray. Do you think Noah Gray can provide you some of the things? He's been there, he's watched. Right. He knows what it is that Kelce was able to do. Now, Kelce is, maybe the best that's ever done it. He's at least in the conversation. So you still have to execute that. But Noah Gray becomes mission critical for the Chiefs, I think, if Kelce stepped away. And the problem that we just don't know, and it would only be a question Andy Reid could probably answer, is can you just slide him in?
Yes.
And have him try to play the same role?
Yeah. Well, no. Not to slide in and play the same role, because they're not gonna do that. They're not gonna put that on his shoulders. Like, okay, you got to go out there and be Travis Kelce.
I'm not saying the same production. don't misunderstand. I'm not saying Noah Gray now needs to catch 100 balls at 1,200 yards.
That's unrealistic and unfair
to
him.
I'm saying, can he play the same role in the offense? Can he provide Mahomes? No.
Because, but they're not
outlet no. that Kelce was able to.
No, and I think that that's a key part of it, because I think that they are going to need to move away from that, because you're going from
so they
maybe
have
the
to
best,
redesign their offense.
To probably redesign, but I think they were going to do that anyway. Like the way that the dink and dunk offense had kind of played out, as we saw in the Super Bowl, I think that they need to move away from that anyway. And that
they won 2 out of 3 Super Bowls.
I'm talking
and went to 3 with that offense.
I get it, but like we saw it exposed in the Super Bowl, the quick strike, short pass deal,
because
they didn't
pass block.
Right, but again, if they can go out, like they've got to sell out to get a left tackle to protect Patrick Mahomes, which hopefully should allow them to be able to have an offensive game plan that lets them take shots further down the field to their wide receivers, to where they wouldn't need to have quite as much of a dink and dunk, fast strike, pass it, short of the yard to gain markers. Like, I think that you can redesign that offense in that way if you can get a quality offensive line to protect Patrick Mahomes.
I don't know that they are going to do that, because the way defenses are defending them, I don't think they're going to all of a sudden become the same offense they were in 2019 without Kelce.
I'm not saying they're going to be the same. They're not going to revert back to the 2019. It can be a new look sort of design. They've already shifted it once. I think they can shift it again. They shifted it when Tyreek Hill left, and now they are what they are. And I think that they can shift it again when Travis Kelce left. Like if he leaves, this is the other thing that like everybody was like, oh my God, the Chiefs aren't going to be able to figure out offense when they trade Tyreek Hill and he goes away. And what did they do? They found a way to make it work and still have an incredibly effective offense. I think they can do the same thing if Travis Kelce decides to walk away.
Well, I think the reason for that is Kelce. I think because we found, we learned Kelce was more critical to the offense. Now, and look, I'm not saying the Chiefs won't be able to play offense. I'm just saying they're going to have to make decisions in the offseason that they wouldn't have to make in an offseason already full of critical decisions if Kelce decides to walk away. I'm not sure that Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy take a shot off. Xavier Worthy was not a good shot play guy this year.
I don't think that if Travis Kelce leaves, I don't think that should change Brett Veach's offseason plan at all.
Yeah, that is our disagreement, because I absolutely think it does. We'll come back. Hour number 2 of Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Listen to KFH Radio for your chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas in March. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app. Log in, listen to KFH Radio. Listen each day for a minimum of an hour for your daily entry. Includes travel and accommodations for 4 to Las Vegas, plus $20,000 spending cash. Get all the info with the national contest at KFHradio.com. Stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Another hour here. Jalen Thompson joins us from Surprise, Arizona. Coming up a little later in this hour, we'll talk a little Royals spring training, things that Jalen is watching for out there. We've been talking for an hour, essentially, about Travis Kelce. This is headline stuff of his own, creation. There's no sympathy needed for, why do we always talk about whether he's going to retire? Well, because he's talking about it on his podcast. Therefore, we are, because it's a guy who's been, arguably the most important member of a franchise for a decade, right there with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Chris Jones. It's one of those dudes, and he may not be back next year. You can go back and listen to any of that conversation on the Odyssey app as well. We'll get you ready for college basketball in this hour. Tommy, let's stay in the NFL in this segment here and shift a little bit. A lot of smoke around Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers, potentially. This is an interesting offseason for quarterback. It's not the, by perception, strongest draft class. Certainly not what last year's was, where it's like all of them were good. All like 7 of them were good. Now we've got a situation with a couple of quarterbacks people aren't totally sold on. And then a bunch of older guys in free agency. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, Sam Darnold, right, who's not necessarily an old guy, but a guy who's going to be a free agent starting for a football team somewhere most likely next year. This is going to be an interesting shuffling of things, I think, this offseason, especially with the lack of depth in the draft at quarterback. There are a lot of teams that are going to try and get it done with one of these guys. Is there, so I kind of look at it two ways. Is there a team that is one of these types of quarterbacks away from being a legit contender would be the first part of the question. And then the second part of the question is, can one of these guys go help somebody win a Super Bowl? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that there are a couple of those teams that are probably a quarterback away. You mentioned Pittsburgh. I think that, you know, they're a dynamic quarterback away, you know, from at least making some noise in the AFC for sure. Like, I think about the way that their defense played. I think about, you know, they've got a dynamic wide receiver in George Pickens, you know, when he can keep his head in the game. I think that, yeah, they might be a quarterback away from, you know, being able to make an impact. So that's one team I think of. I think Seattle, I've heard some noise about, you know, potentially could Aaron Rodgers go to Seattle and play for the Seahawks? Maybe. You know, I don't know exactly what the status is there.
Well, I don't think he's better than Geno Smith right now.
Do you think that he could take them further than what Geno's been able to do for them?
I actually don't. I think Geno Smith has been one of the great surprises in football.
Geno wasn't great this last year. Like, he was okay at times, but he wasn't great.
Let's see. 4,300 yards, 21 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Aaron Rodgers was probably not the same type of yardage, but had a better touchdown interception. Let me just pull his up real quick, and we'll have our answer. No, he really wasn't. Aaron Rodgers, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, a lower QBR, fewer yards. Completion percentage was lower. I think he was worse than Geno Smith last year. I don't know. I think it's Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's the one. I don't know that any of these guys are better than Geno Smith, but I think they're all better than Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's one of these guys, by the way.
I could see one of these potentially impactful free agent quarterbacks maybe going to Vegas to play for Pete Carroll. Because they need a quarterback. I don't think they're a quarterback away. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, you've got Carroll. Yeah, you know, like, that could be something that could work out, you know, potentially for a season in Vegas.
I like Shadur to the Raiders. I do. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think Shadur should be the number one pick in this draft. Whoever makes it, I think it should be Shadur Sanders. Do you let him sit a year under one of these guys? Don't think it's a bad idea. You know, like, which one of them becomes interesting? Would you really want somebody behind Rodgers? I'm not so sure, but Derek Carr?
Here's an idea.
Yeah.
Why don't you draft Shadur if you are Vegas, trade up to get him, bring him in, let him sit for a year to learn with Pete Carroll, and you bring in Russell Wilson to reunite with Pete Carroll for a season, and then Wilson is the starting quarterback. The only thing is that I'm not sure.
Wilson and Carroll kind of beefed there, didn't they?
Maybe towards the end, but I also don't know, like, is Wilson a good mentor type guy? Like, that's not...
I know. That's where it's like, okay, well, Derek Carr would be that dude, but then are the Raiders really going to bring
him
back?
Yeah, do they want to bring him back? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, could Aaron Rodgers go to Vegas and play for Pete Carroll?
And do you want to learn behind Aaron Rodgers? There is a case to be made that worked out well for Jordan Love. So, yes. I mean, yes. I think you could absolutely do that. But I do think... you could combine them. You could do the same thing with Cam Ward if you thought Cam Ward was bad. I just happen to like Shadur Sanders more than Cam Ward. But it will be interesting. And I'm the most fascinated by, does it put somebody into contention? I think it does in the AFC when you talk about the Steelers. The Ravens and the Bills are not going anywhere. The Chiefs probably are not going anywhere. The Texans are going to, I think, be better next year because they won't be quite as unfortunate with injuries. But the Broncos are going to be better. The Chargers are going to be better, at least by the things that we're assuming. Right? There's a lot of good teams in the AFC. And then in the NFC, you stare at this juggernaut Eagles team, which I don't think loses much this offseason. And then the 49ers potentially back healthy with whatever it is. And there's your other team, the 49ers. Would Aaron Rodgers playing for the 49ers give them an opportunity to go back to the Super Bowl? I absolutely think it would. You know, he'd be the only one probably that I'd be of this group. He'd be the only one I would be slightly maybe more intrigued by than Brock Purdy. Otherwise, I think I would take Purdy over the rest of these dudes. But you could make a case for me with Rodgers. But I don't think it's a slam dunk case because I don't want to inflate what Rodgers did last year. He was fine. He was okay. If you make that kind of bet with Rodgers, you're betting that another year recovered from the Achilles, he's actually better than he was. If you bring him to a place like San Francisco and not bring back Brock Purdy, that's a risky move to not bring back Brock Purdy, by the way. But if there's an organization in football that's confident enough to make it because they just don't see Purdy that way, it's the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan, if Kyle Shanahan doesn't think he's that dude, he'll let him go.
Yeah, I think that you've got to use what happened with the Jets as a cautionary tale. Because, I mean, think about it. It wasn't just them bringing in Aaron Rodgers and what they traded to the Packers to get him. Like, they traded a lot to bring in guys around Aaron Rodgers, his people. They gave up the farm to get guys, you know, to play alongside of him. And then they made the organizational changes. They fired Robert Saleh. They fired their general manager. And what did they get to show for that? They won, by the way, Robert Saleh, five games.
Back in San Francisco now, so yeah. Maybe that's that's a problem for this.
Like, what do the Jets have to show for it? And, you know, nothing. Like, nothing. Like, their organization is back in shambles at this point. So I think any team that brings in Aaron Rodgers, you know that, number one, you're getting a diminished product. And I think that's just objective. Like, he's not the same quarterback as he was. So you have to know that going in. And number two, you have to know that you get the baggage that comes along with it as well if you bring in Aaron Rodgers. So that's got to be in the back of the minds of these teams. Do I think that there's a fit for him? Absolutely, I do. I mean, I think a team will bring him in for at least one or two more seasons if he wants to play. But I think you also need to have that in the back of your mind that you know what you're getting when you bring him in.
It'll be one to watch. He'll dominate another offseason like he has the last three or four, maybe. But just wanted to put that out there because it's out there and it'll be an interesting class. All right, Tommy, before we take a break, what are you sporting today for your Friday Fit?
Yeah, I got the Friday Fit going on here with our friends over at 3570 Golf Co. If you are watching us on the video stream, this is a brand new release that's on their website right now. 35x70golfco.com is their website. This is called the Hardwood. So if you're, you know, watching the video stream, it's basketball themed. You've got little orange basketballs. You've got, you know, basically the crimson and blue of one of our local teams here in the state for you to check out. So, you know, now that we're getting closer to, you know, college basketball championship tournaments and all of that, it's the perfect golf shirt to go along with that. If, you know, let's say you're going out to Crestview and you're going to watch some games, you can rock this polo and then go play 18. So you can definitely go check out what those guys have on their website, 35x70golfco.com. Use the promo code Tommy, get 10% off right now. You can check out this shirt, all their other great golf apparel right there on their website.
I'm jealous. It's a good looking shirt.
Thank
this
you.
Is all their stuff. We do appreciate them greatly. How often, because you're now you get this. I'm so jealous because you get this wardrobe refresh. Maybe I'm jealous. Maybe I don't care. Because I'm wearing a shirt that I was laughing. I think this is about year 10 or 12 for this particular shirt. What is appropriate? What is appropriate for how long you hang on to something? Because I can go well over a decade,
yeah,
no problem.
I didn't used to care. My wife cares a lot more
than
I do. So she'll be like, yeah, time to get rid of that. You've had that for
one's
a year.
Gotta go.
You gotta get rid of that one. Take it to Goodwill.
I definitely have things older than my kids and my marriage in regular rotation. This would be one of them. All right, we'll come back. More Sports Daily. We're going to talk a little college hoops. Speaking of hardwood, next.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Hey, you want to win some HTO? You can do it right now by entering our giveaway, our text to win contest. Text the keyword T to the short code 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea and a free iced or hot free rain coffee drink. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. While you're in there, Tommy, all right, it's official launch day there. You know the poppy sodas. You've probably seen their commercials kind of growing. They're a little healthier option on sodas. So there's a crossover happening now. Three new drinks: a Trop Poppy, a Dirty Cherry Poppy, or a Peachy Poppy. It combines HTOT and the poppy sodas. I've had my wife bring me some home, and they are very, very good. I can attest. And I'm not a drinker of those types of things, but I'm telling you, they taste good. And if you are a drinker of those kinds of crazy drinks, you're going to like these. So if you win the contest when you're in, these aren't eligible for the contest prizes, but you got to try one because they're so good, and excited that those are finally launching. Anywho, welcome back into Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Caster. We are going to get you ready for Royals spring training in just a little while. Next segment, in fact, Jalen Thompson's going to help take us to Surprise, Arizona. Let's talk college hoops here, Tommy. We've got some big ones coming up. They're all going to be big now for K-State, of course, who people are getting excited because I think Joe Lunardi listed him in his first four out today in his bracketology. They've got a tough road here in Utah to play at Utah Saturday, and then a quick turn to play at BYU Tuesday. That's KU, and then K-State flip-flops it. They can share a plane. What do you think? But they'll also be out in Utah for a while, and they play at BYU first and then a quick turn at Utah, even quicker turn Monday. I do think it's more advantageous to get BYU first, but they both have to make relatively quick turns. K-State's is shorter. Let's start with the Cats because they're sort of in the headlines now. They're kind of creeping back in. I think, Tommy, it's a good thing that everybody's talking about them, honestly. Like, I think that's a positive for K-State. When it comes to resume building, I think it's good that, you know, people nationally remember Jerome Tang and remember that run they made, and you've got this narrative building of finally finding itself. I don't know how much that's allowed to go into the selection process, but if it is, and these are humans and there is human error, I'm sure glad everybody likes to talk about K-State right now.
Yeah, you know, and you're right. Joe Lunardi today has the Wildcats listed as in the next four out. So not in the first four out, in the next four after those first four are done. So they've still got a little bit of a ways to go, but at least they're showing up on the radar, which a week ago they weren't. Even earlier this week, they weren't showing up on the radar. Now they are. So they've got to keep that continuing to go. You know, you look at CBS Sports. That's the other one I take a look at with Jerry Palm. He doesn't have the Wildcats listed in his first four out. So, you know, there's still a little bit of a ways around. He doesn't do it next four. So they're not there. At that point, you know, but yeah, every single one of these is absolutely crucial, especially, you know, road games. And this next one for the Wildcats, taking on BYU on the road. BYU is a good basketball team. They're not in the top 25, but they're a tournament team. And so you've got to continue on this streak of taking down opponents that, you know, at least from a metrics perspective, are overall better than you, the entire body of work. Maybe not right now, but the Wildcats have to play like the team that they've been playing over the last, you know, few weeks if they want to beat BYU and continue on this streak.
So Palm and Lunardi are a little different here. Let's just look at them because I just pulled up Palm's and I think you have Lunardi's. Where does Lunardi have? So Lunardi has them on the bubble, essentially.
Yeah, as Palm in the next not, four out.
Yeah, so that Palm does not have them even on the bubble.
Right.
So that's going to be, but he does have BYU there, which is probably a good thing. That'll be what's interesting. I think the Cats need consensus for any of us to feel comfortable. And right now, clearly, there's not consensus among the people that do this. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, Lunardi's got BYU in the first four, okay. And so that, you know, he's got them there. And then Jerry Palm has BYU as the first four out.
Yeah, so that's consensus, right? That would tell you that BYU's probably a tournament team as of today. Where does Lunardi have KU?
Lunardi's got KU as a four seed playing in Providence is where he's got them right now. Jerry Palm has them as a five seed.
The last five seed.
The last five seed playing in Seattle.
Yeah. So work to do there. Let me look at the Wichita. So he'd have, so Palm would have Houston there, which will probably happen. I think Wichita fans can count on Houston coming back. And they were a blast. The higher seeds, he would have A&M coming, which would probably travel well, which would be fun. Where are my other Wichita games here?
You're looking at Palm or Lunardi?
I'm looking at Palm. So you'd have of the high seeds, it would be A&M and Houston, and then so you get two seeds, but that's it. So that's probably not good news. Now this will change, right? It doesn't mean that Wichita's getting two seeds. You kind of hope Wichita gets, honestly, probably four seeds right now. It's wild and it's hard to predict. But the reason I asked is because they seem far away from a trip to Wichita by Palm and probably by Lunardi too. Then
yeah, Lunardi's got as the Wichita teams also Houston and A&M, both two seeds coming to Wichita. So that's a consensus between both of those guys. He's also got Nebraska.
This is the problem, Tommy. What seed does he have Nebraska at?
A 10.
Yeah. So this is the problem. And this is what we've been talking about. If A&M and Houston are there, which they are currently, KU's not going to pass Houston. Houston's coming to Wichita almost certainly because it's their closest spot and they're going to be one of the top teams. So you're not going to do that. So can Kansas play up to get in that room? Can they overtake A&M basically? And that's what Kansas faces now. That's what, and again, this doesn't matter as much to Kansas as it does to the city of Wichita. But if, and again, I bring it up because it literally is what people are talking about when I'm out. Is Kansas going to come to, is KU going to come to Wichita? Whether that's people who have a business stake down there that ask me and that, or whether it's just fans that are trying to hope they can go to some games, whatever it is. And I'm like, they need to be better than they're currently at right now. I think there's a chance, but with the problem is the Texas teams, Wichita is going to be the spot. So they have to jump then the Texas. That's why that Houston loss is excruciating for Kansas. It'd be great if they could beat them, but Kansas is going to have to get to the point where they pass some of these teams and now they get these games in Utah. But again, like, what are we talking about here? For Kansas to be where they need to be, they need to win all of their next four games for sure. The two in Utah and three of these four are on the road, by the way, but the two in Utah, then Oklahoma State, and again against Colorado. I think to even have a chance at this, they need to win those four. And then let's see where the chips fall between Tech, Houston, Arizona at the end of the year. And see how that goes. The head-to-head against Tech is handy. The head-to-head against Houston is handy because those are potentially teams they're competing with for this placement in the tournament.
Yeah, I think that KU could easily, after this weekend, and not just this weekend, but the two road games in Utah, the Utah game and then the BYU game, if you can get both of those road games, Kansas on paper is better than both of these teams. If you can get both of these road games, you know, then at that point, you know, can they get themselves back into the position to be maybe a 3 seed or a high 4? And then at that point, you know, like, yeah, like things are going to shake out the way that they are, but you're playing yourself back into position. And I think, again, on paper, they should win both of these games. Will they? That's a good question.
Well,
but I think
the
that
age
they should.
Old question with Kansas is so like you don't have these when you're Kansas in all, you know, most years, not the last two, or like Houston this year. They're just sort of playing it out, right? We kind of know what they're going to do and where they're going to be. Not a lot's going to change there. That's that level of team. Kansas isn't there. The question is, should they be there? That we can't find an answer to now this late in the season. Because there's absolutely a world where if Kansas plays its best basketball, they win every game the rest of the way up into the conference tournament. And that... while that doesn't seem feasible because they just can't find consistency now, there have been times this year where you could absolutely see it. It's a team that beat Duke. It's a team that should have beat Houston, right? They absolutely blew that game, but they had them beat. It's a team that can beat anybody. The problem has been their consistency. Diggy Coit yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, said he felt like the team was beginning to take on the identity of Bill Self, which is interesting. Bill Self was happy to hear that a little later. I think it was Matt Tate that was tweeting about this or one of the beats. But they're not there yet. They're not there yet as far as having that identity. This team needs to get angry. This team needs to catch fire, not in the sense of like fire to win a bunch of games. Fire in like they need to get sick of everybody doubting them. They need to get sick of inconsistency and get flat angry. If these older players, most notably Hunter Dickinson, who has sparks of that sort of energy, it's time to bring it now. Like, it's time to be the bad guys. It's time to be nasty. It's time to push people around. It's time to impose your will on other teams consistently. They're not all of a sudden going to start shooting a ton of threes, Tommy. They're not all of a sudden going to start getting to the free throw line. Two of the things that Shreyas Lada, our KU insider, has been pointing out for a long time is major problems for this team for 2 years now. That part's not going to happen. So what can happen with what they have to work with? Because what they have to work with has been good enough, again, to beat Duke, to beat Michigan State, to should have beaten Houston and all the other things that they've done. You better just embrace whatever that is, and its defense and its energy and its physicality, the things that they are totally capable of doing, they must better channel it. But that, of course, has been the challenge. But I don't think we should sit here and hope they start shooting three-pointers better.
No.
That's not going to happen.
That's not the way that they're going to improve where they want to be by the end of this season. I mean, if the shots fall, great, but I don't think anybody should be counting on that at this point with this team. Has there been many indications... and let's just go back to conference play in general. Have there been many indications that this Kansas team can out-tough their opponents? I think that that's rare. That's few and far between. You know, I don't think that there are a lot of like consistent moments where you can point at and say, yep, that Jayhawks team is tougher than their opponent is. And I think that's been a key issue. That's been a key problem. They've not been able to, you know, instill doubt or instill fear in their opponents. Like you go back to their, I just think about the Sunflower Showdown loss last weekend in Manhattan. They didn't force turnovers at all. They didn't get after it defensively at all. They can do it. I've watched them do it, but it's like they just can kind of turn it on and turn it off when they want to, when they feel like they want to play that kind of defense, when they feel like they want to bring that intensity, that toughness, all of that. It's not a consistent thing, and it hasn't been, at least for the last 2 months. They've got to have that be more consistent than anything. Like, that's got to be priority number one. It's not about shooting the ball better. It's not about making their threes. It's not about any of that. It's about, can you provide that intensity, that toughness, game in and game out? If they can do that at a more consistent clip, then I feel a lot more optimistic about this team.
Well, it may ultimately be about those things, but that those things aren't going to change, right? I don't think they will anyway. It's not going to be something that they do. So, right, like, embrace what it is. If you're going to do this other thing because you don't have a choice, then embrace it. Be the best at it. Be the best defensive team in the country. Do you?
And like, that's my point, is that they've shown that they can. They've shown that they
that's
can.
That's what I'm saying.
They're just do not you, consistently doing it.
Do you think, though, that this can be the best defensive team in the country?
Yes.
I do, too.
Yes.
I do, too. And Flory Badunga's got to be better for that to be the case. Has to be. Has to be better, because he's got to be a part of that. Because if that's going to happen, Hunter Dickinson's going to need a little rest to be able to bring that kind of energy for a full game. Badunga can help him do that. Nobody's going to help them be something different than what they are offensively. Nobody is. So that still needs to be run the offense through Dickinson and let Mayo take a ton of shots.
I can promise you
that's going to have to be the offense.
I can promise you I know what the message is from Bill Self and what it probably has been. Control what you can control. Can you control the ball going through the bucket? No, you can't control that. You can take good shots. You can try to improve your chances of making what you shoot, you know, and make good decisions and all of that, like, for sure. But you can't control it 100%. What you can control is your intensity and your effort and the way that you get after it defensively. You can control that. And again, we've seen flashes of this team being elite defensively, being locked down defensively. They've gotten away from that in the last, I don't know, 3 weeks or so. They've got to get that back.
Yeah, and it's you know, we've seen it at times, right? They were really good defensively against Colorado. They were really good defensively against Iowa State. But mixed in between all that is a bunch of games where you're just like, what was that? You shouldn't be giving up 81 points to Kansas State and Baylor and 60.5 to Baylor. Like, that can't happen if you're going to be the best defensive team in the country. Like, we think that you can't. Like, that can't happen. So we'll find out a lot about Kansas, honestly, in the softer portion of the schedule, because I think this is a really good opportunity for them to impose their will. And I'm really glad this portion of the schedule exists, because now's the time for them to go do it. Go be that team. You're not going to play anybody in the next four that should be able to take you away from that. You know, Houston's a different story, right? Arizona's a different story. These teams are going to play over the next five can't be, or it's just not going to work for KU this year. K-State, they're in a different – K-State just has to win all their games. Like, what a wild, wild ride this is going to be for K-State. I don't know if they can afford to lose one. I'm pretty sure they can't afford to lose two, unless one of the two is in the final game of the season to Iowa State. That's how razor thin their margin's going to be the rest of the way. And that still may not be enough, but at least it's on the table now. And so every game they play now essentially becomes some sort of like tournament game to a degree. Like, you've got to win them. And they have been thrillers lately. Brendan Hawson misses that free throw, and all of a sudden that game, whatever night that was, Tuesday, you're just like on the edge of your seat. That's the second time that's happened now in this run. It makes you nervous. They feel like tournament games when they're playing, which is a blast to watch as long as they keep winning them for our sake. But it's been nerve wracking.
They don't have any margin at all. You know, and especially this weekend again with another potential tournament team in BYU. You continue the road stretch, you know, at Utah. You know, they've got to have both of them. It's not a one or the other. They've got to have both of them. Not with these two games.
They might be able to afford one loss that's not Iowa State, but you'd sure like to not find out.
And I don't think it's either one of these.
What could be BYU potentially on the road? that's not that. That's going to end up being quad one.
But to your point, I don't want to find out if
I don't either. I don't either. Shockers get Memphis. They've shown they can hang with Memphis. They did it on the road. Individual games, I think, is how we have to treat the Shockers. Even though it's nice that they're on a 3-game win streak, and that's good to see. Can they do it on an individual basis? We'll find out Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, if they can get Memphis tomorrow, I mean, 5-7 in the conference and 15-10 overall, you'll take that.
Changes the whole season.
KFH, Tommy Castor, Jacob Albrock, joined by Jalen Thompson, our Royals reporter. You know, Jalen, I'm jealous of you. I know you're in Arizona right now for spring training. We're back here. It's cold. It is, you know, snowy. Like, wind chills are super cold. I'm pretty jealous of where you're at right now, my friend.
Oh, don't be jealous. It's a day of love. Valentine's Day, baseball's back. You can't be jealous on this day.
We're jealous.
We are.
We're jealous because you're watching baseball. What are you talking about? This is a day for spite for a lot of people. Like, half the people love Valentine's Day and half the people are spiteful on Valentine's Day. And right now we're spiteful that you are there and we're not. How's it going out there? What's the vibe early on for the Royals?
It's a good vibe. Looking at who all showed up, all the pitchers and catchers are here. The position players, majority of them are here. They don't have to officially report until Monday when they have their first workout. Everyone in camp, they all have one mission and one goal. I think Salvador Perez put it the best. He said, win everything. That's the goal. To come back after making that playoff run last year. The Royals are confident that they can be one of the top teams in the American League and definitely push for that American League Central crown. So it's really competitive. They all are here with one mission, one goal, and like Salvi said, that's just the win.
One of the big stories, Jalen, over the last couple of days with the organization, Ned Yost returns to the Royals as a senior advisor to J.J. Piccolo. Yost had been living that retired life and decided he wanted to come back. What predicated this return to Kansas City? Why is he now returning, and what kind of role do you think he'll serve with the team?
Yeah, we talked to Ned yesterday, and he said simply he was like a fan watching the game for like the first time. You know, I guess when you're in baseball and you're always around it, you can't really put your fan cap on, but while he was retired, he's watching the Royals all the way through the playoffs, and he was getting those nervous moments and that anxiety that we all feel when we're watching a game. And he was leaning on every pitch and every run and every sequence. And he was like, I want to be able to help in any way that I can help this team out. He saw a lot of similarities from the 2014 and 2015 teams, which he was a part of as the manager. So he said he talked to J.J. Piccolo. He was like, let's try to work out something where I can come and help. So he's going to be focused on working primarily within the minor league system, looking and evaluating guys at each level that could be a help to the big league club. So that could be a key, another set of eyes that might allow for a prospect or two that has it to show up in Kansas City, maybe sooner than expected, or, you know, that's right on track.
What can be done to recapture, I guess, the energy of last season? I think, and that's maybe the best thing Yost can provide, because sometimes it's hard to, like, when you do something special like they did a year ago, the propensity to just have a letdown feels high. Now, I think their roster's better than that, but how do you recapture that energy that was so clearly there a year ago?
I think when you get so close to something and you make a run like the Royals did last year, where no one expected them to be in that spot, that now that you are up one of the teams that are in the door, you broke through the glass ceiling pretty much of the playoffs. You haven't done that in 9 years before last year. So now that you're in the party, you're in the door. Now you see the championship. You saw what the Yankees did to get to the World Series. You saw that you were right there with them, and you play them tough for four games, you can stack up with that team. And I think that's what the Royals are kind of feeling like now, is we got our guys back. They got the former All-Stars in the starting rotation. They're going to solidify that fifth spot. And they re-up the bullpen, and they got a leadoff hitter. They primed themselves to kind of be ready to make this run this season if they can do it. But like you said, it's going to take them staying locked in. It's going to have injuries. You're going to have things go up and down because that's baseball. But I think the Royals feel like they can compete this year.
One of the things that I always love about spring training, Jalen, is you've got some of the highly touted top prospects in the farm system that, you know, for these spring training games from time to time are going to play alongside the established lineup and or pitch alongside some of the guys that we're going to see in the rotation or in the bullpen for the Royals. And, you know, the main three guys I always think about, Jack Caglione, Blake Mitchell, Carter Jensen. I know there are others, but, you know, those three always stay top of mind. Maybe it's not even necessarily those three guys. It might be somebody else that I'm not even thinking of. Is there a potential for any one of these guys to shine brightly enough in spring training that it could maybe move up these guys' timelines and if as far as joining the big league team?
I think for this year, with those three guys in particular, if they have a good spring training, that's great on their part, because then it puts them kind of in line for if you need them maybe towards the end of the year, like in September with call-ups, then maybe there'll be someone that might get a call or something like that. But for the most part, I think they're going to allow those three to kind of spend the year in AAA and really hit the ground running possibly for 2026. Because if you look at the Royals squad right now, there's really going to be no spots available for those three to kind of be an impact. There's guys, big leagues in front of them that they can turn to. But it's always important to get that experience. I mean, Carter Jensen, he was in camp last year, and he's back this year. And then you're getting Blake Mitchell getting his first taste, Jack Caglione. So, I mean, with baseball, anything can happen. Like, who's to say that Caglione can't hit 10 home runs in spring training? Then they'll force a hand or something like that. But right. I think that for right now, they want those guys to really get more experience in the minor leagues. And then from there, they'll see where they are at. But they are really high on all three of those guys. I think more than likely, if you're going to see a minor leaguer in camp this year that's going to make a jump, it might be Noah Cameron. He was in AAA starting pitcher. And the Royals, they know they're going to need depth in their starting rotation. So I look at the pitchers more than I look at the position players right now, just in spring training, that could be ready for this year. But next year, I'm pretty sure that you might start seeing the names that you mentioned of Caglione, Jensen, and Mitchell if they keep progressing well.
Jalen Thompson with us, KC Star, Royals beat reporter, our Royals insider. So glad to have him with us, at Jalen Thompson on X. Something you put out there that I want to ask you about, just kind of as a follow-up to what you have on social, Alec Marsh dealing with an injury, James MacArthur dealing with an injury, certainly two pitchers that the Royals have big plans for this year. Either of these things in any danger of lingering into the season?
So I talked to Alec Marsh yesterday, and he said that he's feeling fine. He just had a little shoulder tightness that happens in the offseason when you're building back up. He's day-to-day, so he's taking it as like just a slow kind of just getting back into things, but he feels fine. He should be on track to continue to be where he needs to be at for the season and competing for that fifth starter spot. James MacArthur, he just started his throwing program. He had two screws put in his elbow, so it's going to take some time for him to get built back up and ramp back up. It might take the entire spring to get him to where he needs to be, but he shouldn't be anything that should linger maybe too far into the season with him as well. So both of those guys, you know, the Royals are just taking it slow. Matt Cottrell, he said it best with regards to Marsh. We'd rather have him miss some days on the front end than to be out on the back end when it's time to get ready for the season. So, I mean, just normal wear and tear that happens when you're trying to get back into the swing of things of baseball.
Let's talk a little bit about the outfield here, Jalen. So, of course, we all know that, you know, that was probably the primary area that the Royals didn't really do a whole lot with during the offseason, and we know the struggles offensively last year from the Royals outfielders. The free agent pool is pretty slim now in the outfield. I can't imagine that the Royals will do anything there. Occasionally, it does happen where you see spring training trades happen between teams. Do you think that there's any possibility that J.J. Piccolo will be open to deal during spring training, or do you think that we're pretty much set, at least offensively, for this team?
I think that you can't rule out a possibility of the Royals making a trade or anything of that nature, because we saw them do it last year when they got John Schreiber from the Boston Red Sox. So the way that the Royals are envisioning this, they still want to see what Jonathan India and Michael Massey will look like in the outfield. So I think that will be step one, to see if they have the ability to play out there. And then if one of those two have shows that they can do it, then they could be okay going into the season with what they got. But it's going to come down to, do you believe in MJ Melendez and the strides that he made this offseason, changing up the batting stance a little bit, getting shorter and quicker to the ball at the plate to have that bounce back season? Do you believe that Hunter Renfroe will bounce back and be the guy that hits 20 home runs like he has done in his career? If those things can happen, then I think the Royals will be okay with what they have. But it's going to be hard to try to find a trade partner this late for a premium position like an outfielder, because we don't necessarily know what other teams are willing to give up for their guys. And it might be one of those things where the Royals maybe take a look at whoever doesn't make the team at the end of camp and try to bring someone in if they show desire to just want to upgrade the outfield spot. But for right now, they're confident in what they have, and they're ready to go forward to see what they can get done in the spring.
Last one from us, I think, here, Jalen. What percentage of games do you think Salvador Perez catches this year?
I always felt like if you ask Salvi that question, he wants to catch every game.
He'll tell you 100, yeah, right.
He'll tell you all 162. But I think for him to really help as he continues his career and to be as efficient and as great as he can be on the field, I think if he catches around, let's say, 115 games, that should be a good number for him, maybe, because then you can still get Freddie Freeman some games catching. And, you know, it's like the Royals always say it's maybe like a 60-40 split pretty much. So, I mean, it just depends on where they see him. So, he's going to get some stuff at first base, too. You can't forget that. Even though Vinny's over there.
I ask because I would argue that at this point of the Royals' structure, his bat's more important than his glove. And that's weird to say with a catcher, especially that one, but I think his bat's more important. I think I'd protect him a little bit.
Yeah, I think that could be something that they might consider as well. I mean, they always say that Freddie Freeman is like, he'll be a starting catcher on any other team
he's good.
The league. Yeah, so I mean, it could be that way. I have kind of similar thoughts about that as well, because now that you have a pretty much an extra hitter, infielder in Jonathan India, you can move people around and give guys rest days. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think they got to make sure they have his bat in there to do this thing this year. Jalen, we appreciate it. We'll do this each week here as we get ready. We're fired up. Football's done now. It's coming into baseball season real fast.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me along on this journey, Jacob and Tommy. I'm excited too.
There goes Jalen Thompson. Find his work at the KC Star. We're glad to be inside, surprise, living vicariously through Jalen while we're up here freezing our butts off.
I wish I was there.
Yeah, me too. I haven't been to spring training. It's on my list of things to do for sports.
It's so much fun. One of the best trips I ever took was going to Arizona for spring training.
It's not one like I can take with my wife. Maybe when my son's older, because she'll get bored of the baseball after like three innings. And I'll be like, well, no, we're actually going to watch like 25
more. We've got three games to watch today, so you better buckle in.
Yeah, but just, you know, saddle up, partner, because we're not going anywhere for a while. So, yeah, maybe not the one to take the wife on. Maybe when my son gets a little older, we can do it. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up Sports Daily right after this.